Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. How many of your prayers have gone unanswered? Let's face it, nothing causes more unbelief than someone who tries prayer in hopes of changing their reality, only to have their hopes dashed to pieces. How many of us have prayed, "Will you forsake me forever?" Sometimes it feels this way, but today's psalm points to a dramatic change in heart that restores one's faith. Is there something just beyond our doubts that replaces reality as it is for us with reality as it actually is? And join me now as we continue in the third installment of our Psalm's Greatest Hits as we visit the 13th Psalm. These feelings of being forgotten can grow our soul and enable us to peek within the deepest part of our being as we learn to see beyond everything. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I'm your host. My name is Kevin Winder. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach. So glad to have you with me. Welcome to the program. And thank you, all of you who are signing up. Tell your friends, as you have done so far. Keep doing that. These posts, these podcasts, this newsletter, all of it combined creates great conversation starters, doesn't it? I mean, when's the last time you've had a really good conversation? Take some of the content that's here and talk to somebody about it. See what happens. I hope that's what you're doing. Thanks so much for your feedback. You can write me anytime you want. Just get on my my website, kevinwinder.com. You can always reach me there. Or if you get the newsletter, you can always get that at Winder's Windshield at kevinwinder.com. And sign up today if you haven't. You can always write me, email me, write your comments, feedback, questions, yell at me, whatever you want to do. You can always respond to my blog posts at thriveinexile.com. So yeah, I'm out there. I'm ready to engage in conversation with you as long as you're willing to. I'm willing to as well. Well, folks, today we are in the third installment of a series. And no, we're not doing the series on the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to get back to that next week. But every 10 weeks, we're pausing. And we are doing a reflection on the Psalms' greatest hits. You know, they say the Psalms are like songs. And so we're going to pick out what I think are some of the greatest hits, the greatest points of reflection. And these are not intellectual studies. These are not theological debates. These are not, you know, head games. This is not an intellectual pursuit. We're trying to access something deeper. We're trying to access that part of our being that groans, that longs, that hungers, that thirsts, and we're trying to satisfy it. Right? This is part three of an ongoing series, right? This is, you know, my purpose in all this is really to just kind of cut through the exoskeleton and the veneer of our life and allow the bottomless well of love that is captured in these words to really burst out and just take us wherever it may. And so these words are going to fall on you uniquely. Not every one of us is going to hear these the exact same way. Not, there's something unique in it for all of us. And my hope today is that as you sit and listen to this podcast, wherever you are met at your point of need. I'm hoping, I'm praying that love reaches through the airwaves, no matter how long it takes for you to hear this, and touches that hurting place with love. That's the goal, okay? So let's begin. This is the 13th, and let's just start by reading the passage. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Wow. Now that is a change. There's like a 180 here, right? What starts with "Will you forget me?" ends in a song. I mean, what happened? I mean, let's go back and kind of unpack some of this and see if we can kind of retrace the steps of the psalmist here, okay? I mean, do you know the pain of an unanswered prayer? Have you perceived a void where you thought certainly something should have existed, right? Do you ever feel like your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling? You really need a breakthrough. You really need a change. You really need something, and nothing fills the place where something should. When expecting a voice or a message, or you're seeking out, you're looking, you're trying to hear, is God even out there? Do I have only one bar on my signal? What's going on? It's only silence coming out of the speaker. And when you're searching for a sign, did nothing at all come into view? You see, in all my years of serving people in spiritual formation, I can tell you this. I assure you, there's no greater cause for unbelief than unanswered prayers. It has to work with a lot of residential treatment centers for abused, addicted, troubled teens. And I can tell you that so many of them have deep pain of abuse where they were begging God to make it stop, and it didn't. So from that, they concluded there can't be a God. And if there is a God, he's horrible. You see, the presence of God is distinct from our perception of this divine attendance. You see, theologically anyway, God's omnipresent. So we can always just, you know, recoil back into our theology, which is usually how these questions are answered. Well, God is everywhere. He's all the time. You know, he's always there. But there's certain times in our life where we just are certain he's not, or he's ignoring us. And that may even be worse. But you see, God is not a figment of our imagination. If it were, you could just imagine an answer. God's not an appendage to our creative, our emotional, or our intellectual centers. If so, we could just concoct a feeling. We could summon up some intellectual argument to make God appear, because it would be completely within our control. And that's really what a lot of people think God is in the minds of others. And you know what? I think some of their observations are right. People of faith, a lot of their God is a God of their own making. Not the God who shows up in Scripture and other places in our life in ways we had no way of knowing. See, there's no ceremony, there's no song, there's no ritual, there's no incense, there's no candle burning that can invoke God to show up and overtake us. You cannot move God. God is immovable. Unchanging. See, we may know this intellectually. We might even know it theologically that God is near, but there's something different between knowing it in your head and feeling it, experiencing it deep in your place of being, in your soul, right? That sweet place of divine union never comes from our side. Like, we can try and get it. And this is all ritual and religion and spiritual practice does. As James Finley says, it just puts you in the place where you're most likely to be taken over. It opens you into receptivity. But none of our songs and our religion and our ritual make God accountable to us. He's not a vending machine where we put in the right coin, the right dance, the right song, and out comes his consolations and presence. See, it doesn't work that way. That sweet place of divine union never comes from our end. Paul says that the gifts of grace and faith are not of ourselves. right? The soul that has never tasted nor been completely satisfied with the presence of God simply cannot know what I'm talking about. You cannot know what the psalmist is talking about here when he's longing for this intimate reunion. In Psalm 84:10, it says, "A day in your courts is better than 1,000 days elsewhere." Right? What is he getting at? Like, if you've never known the satisfaction and complete oneness of God's presence, you can't understand this text. But I hope you can. I hope you can get there. I'm hoping to build a bridge for you, to create a space for you to be receptive, to be overtaken one day. See, the flow and proximity of God stretches us as it pulls on us, and it pulls us out of our self-focus into this deep place, this place of oneness, union. This is why the marriage bed is always used in Scripture as to describe this intimacy, this relationship. Right? The flow then of God gently lifts away, and then it just leaves us back in our kind of dimmed reality. It's like we can't possess it forever. We don't own it. If we could cajole it or manipulate it or make it do what we wanted it to do, we'd always keep that feeling forever. None of us have been able to do it. No one has ever, in the history of the human race, ever been able to possess it. This is one clue to know that it's not us. You see, it's easy to feel forsaken in those times. When you had a great deep moment of awakening and enlightenment and clarity and peace and okayness in the world, and then moments later, maybe, you're back to drudge and monotony, boring and painful and fearful, right? The request of union that comes from the soul, or the request of anything at all, reveals that we're vulnerable, we're weak, we're totally dependent. We need this. We long for it. We hunger for it. And some prayer requests are so desperate, like I shared earlier, and some prayer requests are so pain-filled that if God stays his hand, we perceive cruelty, not kindness. And it's easier to just not believe at all in a God than to believe that such severity has purpose or meaning. How could God let this happen? There cannot be a loving God if there's suffering in the world. This is where we all get this place. It's unanswered prayer. Now, help us, Lord, to see from your transcending perspective. You see, this is not easy. It doesn't come easy. See, the loving parent has to walk away from the crying baby, or else we will never learn to self-soothe. We will never eventually self-actualize. See, the pattern is reunion, then disunion. There's a flow here of proximity and distance. Inhalation, exhalation, inspire, expire, closer and further proximity. Expansion, contraction. Do you see what I'm saying? This is a rhythm. This is the breath of God. This becomes our rhythm. Sobering reality meets our wanton slumber. Desiring God and then desiring anything but God. You know I'm talking the truth here, right? See, the rhythm is something you can actually trust. See, like the sun returning on its course, so we know in times of perceived isolation that we will be attended again and again. No, that thing you did, that bad thing you did, or the good thing you failed to do is not ever going to prevent God's attendance from coming back. You are not lost forever. He's not done with you. That day will never come. It's simply a time of rest. The proximity of God is not out of his obligation to us. It's like, oh, you know, he just doesn't get it. I'll just go down and care for them, for him or for her. No. This comes out of an all-encompassing love, kind of depicted in the Song of Solomon and in human love, right? Who is this that looks down like the dawn, beautiful as the moon, bright as the sun, awesome as an army with banner, right? Song of Solomon. See, the withholding of God is as much a gift to us as is consolation, but our eyes are dim and they struggle to see that. You see, what we perceive as God leaving is but another revelation of God in the pattern of the Christ, the one who was rejected by his people, forsaken by his friends, and found no place to rest his head. That one. That's the one who did everything right, and yet God was pleased to crush him, as it says in Isaiah 53. It says in Isaiah 53, 11, out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. It's the anguish of the soul that gives us the satisfaction. You see, the dance is only beautiful because it's married to the mourning. See, we thought what was an unanswered prayer turns out that it's actually the biggest prayer, the biggest answer to the biggest prayer of our life. Think about it. The quest for identity. Who am I, really? See, the worst thing that can happen to an innocent human being, we all now call Good Friday. See, we find our life written in the story of God. It's a story so tragic, yet so redemptive, that we have to see it everywhere, or else we will fail to see it happening within our own lives. And so God himself is the icon, writes himself into the story of pain, of suffering, of being forsaken, of having God turn his face on us. God himself says, I will take on humanity and live this too. You are not going to do something I'm not going to require of my own son. That's an amazing story, this Christ story, right? So our journey, just like the psalmist, always begins with, how long, O Lord? How long? But it always ends with singing and a bountiful life, a full life, complete. You will never find satisfaction in your life until you know who you are in God. Yeah, if you think you're what's on your business card, just welcome to a life of dissatisfaction. If you think you are who you're married to or where you live or what you drive or what's in your bank account or what you're wearing or who your friends are or any of those things, your life will be dissatisfying. It's only going to be enjoyable to the next thing, and then they're on to the next thing and the next thing, and it's just one prison after the next. Satisfaction comes when you find yourself in God. And this transformation takes place the moment we realize we were never left alone. We were never forsaken. We've never been derailed in your life. Yeah, you thought you sinned and ran away from God, or you fell off the tracks, or this horrible thing happened and it derailed your life, created a bunch of end-arounds or cul-de-sacs, and now you feel stuck. But there's no dead ends. You've always been on the rails. Nothing has ever been missing from any moment in your life. Yeah, you might feel like it is. Like, this is just not perfect. This is not what I would have wanted. But it's exactly what you need in order to find you. In order to be you. See, we've simply followed in the footsteps of the Christ life, no matter what name we've ascribed to it. You can call it whatever you want. But you, like all people, like every soul that's ever lived, is simply following in the footsteps of Christ. Yeah, you're taking the beating. You're taking the suffering. You're enduring it, but everything follows this pattern of a little bit of decline and forsaking and loss and death, and then renewal, and then new life, then resurrection, then growth, and then decline, and then death, and then renewal, and then new life. You see, it's the crystal form pattern, and you see it in every single thing in the universe. Every molecule of the universe tells this story. And guess what? Your life is telling that story too. And somehow the psalmist sees this. Somehow the psalmist knows that the song, the prayer that ends in "How long, O Lord," ends in singing in a beautiful life, right? Nothing's ever been missing from each and every moment. We've simply followed in the footsteps of Christ, no matter what we've called it. And in blindness, we thought we were being buried. And now seeing, we realize we were only being planted. Finally, everything belongs. And like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, everything is beautiful in its time. Folks, this is the 13th Psalm. This is inner transformation. Greetings, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder from Beyond Everything Radio, and I really want to encourage you to go to my website right now and sign up for Winder's Windshield. That's my weekly newsletter, and you can find it at kevinwinder.com. When you sign up, you'll join all the others in the virtual space. Each Sunday morning, you'll get a link to my blog, my radio program, and my podcast. You'll be the first to access new content, uncoaching opportunities, and webinars, and so much more. Sign up now and you'll get a free e-version of my book, Getting Better When You Can't. Now, go to kevinwinder.com and remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Go to kevinwinder.com and look for Winder's Windshield and sign up today.